From Yoga and Ayurveda Living, I am Kelly Marie Mills. This is The Dosha Life, a podcast for wellness seekers, curators of happiness, and lovers of healthy living. This podcast is for people interested in tools, remedies, and ancient wisdom coming from Yoga and Ayurveda. Welcome to my happy place. You're with Kelly Spieling, or Kelly Spiels, or Spieling with Kelly. I can't remember. I'm after doing this already and realized that I didn't have it set up properly. But anyway, that's okay. I tend to enjoy the things that I have, and it takes a long time before I extend out beyond them. I have books going back over 20 years that I still refer back to for yoga. And I have Ayurveda books that I still refer back to after 15 years. And yeah, I have music that I use and have used repeatedly, over and over and over again. And it's a comfort. Stability for me has never been easy to find in some places in my life. So for the few things I can, I remain in situ. So it's with really great excitement and happiness. And it brings a smile to my face to tell you a little bit about the Upanishads. These are a part of a large, expansive collection of the spiritual exploration and experience of the ancient culture of India. Grounded in the love of life, the love of science and knowledge, and the bigger picture, the Upanishads is the smaller part of the ancient texts of the Bhagavad Gita, which for me is like an allegory for us to read and reread over and over at different stages of our life, to understand and move into our truthful birthright of happiness. I feel like it's a guidebook. It helps us navigate things, and it's still ever present and easy to read, just like the Upanishads, really relevant. And the Upanishads don't mess around. The heart of the matter is what counts, and it does come down to that in most translations. They were passed down through spoken word for thousands and thousands of years, word by word, finally until they became to be written. And they were rewritten, and then some were given new names because of new authors, but still the wording was similar, but fresh and alive. I feel that they are... I think it's like, if you've ever been with someone that you appreciate so much, you know that there's something extraordinary about them, and you feel awe. That's what these do for me. I had my first experience of awe with a friend of my parents. When we lived in Japan, there were a few Columban priests who lived in the rural areas of Japan, and they would give relief to the chaplains of the naval stations Yokohama and Yokosuka. The priests we knew were from the Columban order. This, of course, happened to be Irish, and my parents got to know two priests really well. One was Father Eamon Horgan. I know that I'll be speaking of him in another spiel. But the other was Father John Crowe. Father John was from Athlone, and actually, very sadly, he died about a year before we moved to Ireland. So when we did get to Ireland, not long after we got to Ireland, my parents took us to visit his family in Athlone. Now, I don't remember much about the visit because I was seriously awkward. I do remember that the house was beautiful. It was a large bungalow, and they had a fabulous spread of sandwiches and scones, and they had all the family come to meet us, tell stories about Joan, and I'm sure that my parents regaled stories of him because he ate at our house many, many times. I really felt so out of place, and you would have thought by then I would have got used to it. And so over the time that me and my family got to know Father John and Father Ned, he enjoyed being with family and sitting and chatting, and he'd smoke his pipe. But eventually, for some reason, he had invited me and my brother to come and see Chiba, Because I know my brother was interested in fishing, and I think Father John was as well. My mother says she took us to the ferry, and I thought we were going to a little island. And so it's only now that I probably knew at some stage earlier years ago. But anyway, this wonderful dedicated priest, he was stationed in a tiny coastal village called Chiba on the east of Tokyo, as far as I understand. I didn't research it much because I wanted to go by memory, but my initial memory is that we had to go on a ferry across. So then I thought that we were going to an island. And when I just looked at a tiny map of Japan to see where was it, but actually, it's actually just a slight jutting out of part of Japan. It's not an island at all, which I was laughing at how our childhood can be slightly false, basically. 50 years ago, I was in awe of Father John, and I think he realized that. But even now, I have so much appreciation for the gift he gave me. It was like he imbued a silent kindness. And when I think of him, I still feel it. He was to me the image of silent contentment, strength, wisdom, and joy. I know that me and my brother were so extremely lucky. Because for whatever reason, he invited me and my brother out to his humble home on Chiba. My mother took us to the ferry and waved us off. Like, I was terrified going on the ferry with my brother because, like, he was like, danger, danger. But we got over to the other side fine. And I remember when we got to his lovely home, it was so quiet because it was a community. And he was walking us through little parts of the area, and people would stand and bow as he came through, and he would bow to them and he would have a chat. And he was fluent in Japanese. Of course, he was there 30 years. So, well, I suppose he was there 20 years at that stage. I don't know what he must have had really disruptive thinking one evening with my parents because somehow he decided to let two teenagers come over and visit him. And we stayed for the night, but he had a housekeeper who looked after us in the evening because he had chores to do himself. And I distinctly remember he lit a barbecue and we sat out on his little patio overlooking the bay. And he baked potatoes in the barbecue and did corn on the cob, scorching it. And we sat in the evening watching the sunset, and it was raining a little bit, and he brought out blankets for us. And then the housekeeper came to help us find our room, and it was just so nice. And he made us hot cocoa, and he must have got marshmallows as well because I remember that. And we read books, and he read the paper, and he lit a pipe. I loved his pipe. And it made my dad want to start smoking a pipe back then, but because it was such a nice smell. And isn't that a wonderful memory? It's actually so rich in my mind. And I know a lot of it isn't false. I know that a lot of it is really just implanted there. The silence, the kindness, the openness, and the compassion. And he was up much earlier than we were in the morning. I do remember that because he had just sat down after having had his breakfast. I know that my brother Chris would have driven him nuts with questions and wanting to take things apart and pick things up, and because that's kind of what Chris was to, he took apart things and put them back together. And actually, he did pretty good putting things back together, but of course, you know that I was angelic. So I think the Upanishads bring me to that space, and maybe that's it, where I feel the stories, they are like I'm present there, and I'm present into the teaching. And I'm present with the teacher speaking. And I'm asking the questions, wondering, curious, not really ready for the answer, not really ready to see the answer, not really having the ability to hear the full answer. And the teacher is ever patient in these stories. But some do give zingers. And I know Father John would give zingers too, and he would just make everyone laugh so much. It is very much a personal taste, the Upanishads, because there are so many other readings through yoga on spirituality coming from the ancient wisdom of these traditions. that don't limit yourself, but in the listening, if it's not in the taste you like, what I would like you to do is perhaps just stay with what you like, what you don't like, and what is it that feels neutral? And appreciating your response, because that's the key to all of life, appreciating how we feel, inquiring into it. Well, seeing where it can lead you to add kindness to it, to add compassion to it, to add the witness, to become like Father John Crow was to me, this witness of all I was, all I was going to be, all he hoped for me. Yeah, for Father John Crow, he to me was and always will be someone I look forward to speaking with again. And to be honest, I think I do that really regularly. I was lucky to have met such a man of great devotion and deep abiding love. So here I read from the Upanishads. This is Prajna Upanishad. Then Sayani Gargya asked, Master, how many powers sleep in man? And how many remain awake? And who is that spirit that beholds the wonder of dreams? Who enjoys the mystery of sleep with no dreams? And who is that spirit on whom all the others find rest? The sage replied, As when before darkness falls, the rays of the setting sun seem all to become one in its circle of light. Though at the hour of sunrise they all spread out again, even so, all the powers of the senses become one in the higher power of the mind. Then a person does not see, hear, smell, taste, or touch, does not speak, receive, or give, move, or enjoys love. Then people say, He sleeps. But in the city of the body, the fires of life are burning. They sleep not. Apana is like the sacred home fire, forever kept burning from father to son. Vijnana is like the fire of the south for offerings to the ancestors. Prana is like the fire of the east, lit up by the home fire. Samana is like the Hotri priest, evenly distributing the two offerings of expiration and inspiration. The mind is the performer of the sacrifice, and Udana is its fruit, since every day it takes the mind in sleep to Brahman, the Almighty, and in dreams the mind beholds its own immensity. What has been seen is seen again, and what has been heard is heard again. What has been felt in different places or faraway regions returns to the mind again, seen and unseen, heard and unheard, felt and not felt. The mind sees all, since the mind is all. But when the mind is overcome by its own radiance, then dreams are no longer seen. Joy and peace come to the body, even as birds, O beloved, return to their tree for rest. Thus all things find their rest in Atman, the Supreme Spirit. All things find their final peace in their inmost self, the Spirit, earth, water, fire, air, space, and their invisible elements, sight, hearing, smell, taste, touch, and their various fields of sense, voice, hands, and all the power actions of mind, reason, the sense of eye, thought, inner light, and their objects, and even life and all that life sustains. It is the spirit of man who sees, hears, feels, senses perfume, touches and tastes, thinks and acts, and has all consciousness. And the spirit of man finds peace in the spirit supreme and eternal. He who knows, O my beloved, that eternal spirit, wherever in consciousness and the senses, the powers of life and the elements find peace, knows the all and has gone into the all. I wonder, did that answer his question? I think it did. But just to clarify, so you can listen to it again with clarification, apana is the fire that burns away toxicity. And it is said here to be the sacred home fire kept burning from father to son. Vijnana is the energy of life that spreads through our body, moving and extending prana in through the whole system of life. And it is said that it is the fire of the south for offerings to the ancestors as it spreads beyond the body. And prana is the source of all of life. And it is said that prana is like the fire of the east, lit by the home fire, which is apana. Samana is the energy of digestion. We consider the ability to digest our lives and our body. And this is the expiration and inspiration, the breath, the ability to move energy in and out, giving and receiving. And the last spoken of, udana, is that of our expression. And it is said here that it is from the mind and the performer of the sacrifice. And udana is its fruit. So I hope that helps you when you re-listen to it again. I'll leave notes in the descriptions below. Thank you for joining me with the Upanishads, O my beloved. Here you will find Monday's meditations, Tuesday's episodic series, Friday's relaxations, interviews with very cool people. There's spiels from Kelly, that's me, on bits that she forgot to say, very normal, or has to say. And Kelly's own are surprise bits and things that you need to know. If you want to help, the best thing to do is download the episodes. Subscribe, follow, rate, review, all help. Thank you to everyone listening. But for now, I look forward to chatting to you in the next episode.